Believers Bible Assembly is pleased to welcome you this morning to our teaching series called Searching the Scriptures. It is our prayer that many will tune in to hear this teaching from God's Word, and the Lord will open many hearts to an understanding of His Word and to His wonderful salvation. If you are enjoying and benefiting from this program, then please inform your family and friends to also listen in each week to this broadcast. At the end of the program, I will provide phone numbers for you to contact us so that you may comment or ask questions about what you have heard or if you would like some more information about our church. Now let us begin today's broadcast with some music that will help prepare our hearts for hearing God's Word. If you have a Bible handy, you may want to open and follow along with today's scripture reading. We will be reading from
2 Corinthians chapter 11. Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. For I consider that I am not at all inferior to the most eminent apostles. Even though I am untrained in speech, yet I am not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly manifested among you in all things. Did I commit sin in humbling myself that you might be exalted, because I preached the gospel of God to you free of charge? I robbed other churches, taking wages from them to minister to you. And when I was present with you, and in need, I was a burden to no one. For what I lacked, the brethren who came from Macedonia supplied. And in everything I kept myself from being burdensome to you. And so I will keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no one shall stop me from this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Why? Because I do not love you? God knows, but what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. I say again, let no one think me a fool. If otherwise, at least receive me as a fool, that I also may boast a little. What I speak not according to the Lord, but as it were foolishly, in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many boast according to the flesh, I also will boast, for you put up with fools gladly, since you yourselves are wise. For you put up with it if one brings you into bondage, if one devours you, if one takes from you, if one exalts himself, if one strikes you on the face. To our shame, I say that we were too weak for that. But in whatever anyone is bold, I speak foolishly. I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, three times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble, and I do not burn with indignation? If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor, under Aretas the king, was guarding the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desiring to arrest me. But I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped from his hands.
The wise man boast in his wisdom, or the strong man boast in his strength. Let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let the humble come and give thanks to one who made us, to one who saved us. I will boast in the Lord my God. I will boast in
Lesson 160, Foolish Boasting. In our last lesson, Paul was defending himself against his critics, who had moved into Corinth and were influencing the church with their false teaching. The remaining chapters of this book are a continuation of Paul's defense against these false teachers, and in today's chapter we find Paul resorting to foolish boasting to shame those who are giving respect to the boasting false teachers. Paul continues to confront the Corinthians about their tolerance of false teachers among them, and will take on the undesirable role of a proud boaster to shame his opponents and chide the Corinthians for their lack of discernment. Paul was jealous for the Corinthians, for they were his spiritual children. He likens his role as a father presenting his virgin daughter to her bridegroom when he speaks of presenting the Corinthians to Christ. He wants them to be pure before the Lord and not corrupted by the deceptions of Satan, as happened to Eve in the garden. The false teachers were presenting a false Jesus and a false gospel, and the Corinthians, who should have known better, accepted them. Paul will put himself in the place of those proud and boasting false teachers by boasting himself. He did this not because he agreed that boasting was the right thing to do, but to show himself a fool just as the false teachers. He thought, "If you will put up with these men and their boasts, then I will do the same and show you that I have much more to boast in, but you will know that my methods don't stoop to foolish boasting." He also wanted to be sure to win over the hearts of the Corinthians so the false teachers would not draw them away from him. He was willing to foolishly boast if that would capture them, for it seemed that they were listening to the boast of these false teachers. He will go on to say that he is not inferior to the most eminent apostles, and though not trained in speech, his knowledge was not lacking. Paul said he humbled himself by preaching to them without any charge, when he might have taken money from them to support his gospel work. He was supplied by the Macedonian brethren and did not in any way become a burden to the Corinthians. Paul continues his boast by saying no one in Achaia, where Corinth was located, would hinder his boasting of his relationship to Christ or his love for the Christians. Paul takes time to describe the nature of these false prophets, who are really servants of Satan. They pretended to be the apostles of Christ, and that was not surprising since Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. There is a good warning to us here, for we need to be aware that although Satan may come in some evil form which is easily identified, when he comes masquerading as a messenger for God, he can easily deceive the undiscerning. Now Paul continues with his boast and says they should not think him a fool, but if they must receive him as a fool, then he would make his boast. This, he admits, is not the Lord's words, but he is playing the fool, since others were making their boasts in the flesh, and they were glad to put up with these boasters. In fact, Paul says, they would tolerate these men even if they enslaved them, took their money, and exalted themselves or struck them on the face. Paul says he was too weak to do that, but if any thought they were so bold, Paul would claim greater boldness. If these false teachers consider themselves Hebrews, Israelites, children of Abraham, Paul could also make that claim. If they are ministers of Christ, Paul asserts in his folly that he is more, and had more labors, more beatings, more imprisonments, and was constantly exposed to death. He says he was beaten with stripes 5 times, each time receiving 39 lashes. He speaks also of being beaten with rods, being shipwrecked 3 times, stoned, and spending 1 night and a day in the sea, often in journeys and perils of water, of robbers by his countrymen, by Gentiles, in the city, wilderness and sea, and among false brethren. He experienced weariness, toil, sleeplessness, hunger, thirst, fastings, cold, nakedness. Besides all of this that he endured, he also felt the burden for all the churches in his daily prayers. Paul confesses his weakness and indignation against those who cause believers to stumble. Paul's boasting, he said, would be in his infirmity. This may have seemed extraordinary, but Paul claims, in the sight of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, to be speaking the truth. To abase himself, he speaks of the time he was in Damascus, and others were seeking his life, so he escaped by being lowered in a basket over the city wall. It may seem difficult to understand the mind of Paul as he speaks to the Corinthians and plays the part of a fool by boasting of all his accomplishments and all that he suffered for the gospel. In fact, we can admire him for what he willingly endured for the sake of the gospel. In his lists of boasts, he does not mention how many souls were saved through his efforts, or how many churches were established, or how well known his name was. He does not speak of things men glory in, namely their personal successes, but we find Paul glorying in all that the gospel was costing him in the way of suffering and losses. This seems an odd way to boast, but if we understand his point, I think we shall see that he is trying to shame the false teachers who wanted the Corinthians to admire them as great men of God. Their boasts were empty, for they had not endured nearly the things that Paul had endured. The sincerity of his labors and work could be attested to by all that he was willing to suffer. We cannot help but be amazed and wonder as we hear Paul's resume of pain and toil for the sake of the gospel. Which one of us could claim such sacrifices for our Lord? We see the depth of Paul's faith and love for the Lord Jesus in this chapter. Albeit that was not Paul's design in writing to the Corinthians. His heart burned with love for his brothers and sisters, and it was more than he could bear to see these false teachers stealing away their hearts by their proud boasting. Thus Paul will do his own boasting, but in so doing put to shame all those who boast in the flesh, and help the Corinthians understand something of Paul's heart towards them, how he had earned the right to win their affections and trust. I wonder how genuine our faith would prove to be if we were called to go through some of those hardships that Paul went through. Paul gladly and willingly went forth with a gospel message, knowing full well that it would cost him dearly, perhaps even his own life. If you put your faith to the test, would it stand up or collapse under pressure? I hope all that are listening to this message will place their trust in Jesus and prove to be his faithful follower. If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 30.
Let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, or the strong man boast in his strength. Let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let the humble come and give thanks to the one who made.
Now for today's Bible question. In today's lesson, we heard Paul continue his defense to the Corinthians by playing the fool and boasting. His boasts, however, are not what one would expect from a proud individual, but rather are centered around his sacrifices and sufferings for the sake of the gospel. Someone might ask the question, why does God permit his servants to suffer? In today's lesson, we heard Paul's long list of trials and tribulations he had to endure in his service for Christ. In spreading the gospel to the Gentile world, he often faced fierce persecution and was often one step away from death. We might wonder why a man who dedicates himself so fully to the Lord would have to endure such difficulties, for surely God could protect him from all such suffering. Our mindset would lead us to think that life should be comfortable and happy for those who serve the Lord faithfully. However, the Scripture teaches us the very opposite, both in word and example. For it is written, "All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Certainly, Paul, serving as an apostle, suffered from much persecution. When things go bad in ministry, we might be inclined to think the Lord is unhappy with us and has brought troubles upon us. Although there may be some cases where the Lord does let us suffer for the sake of correction, more often the trials are God's way to perfect us into the image He desires. Peter wrote that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. So Scripture teaches that Christians can and should expect to suffer in their Christian lives, especially when they are serving the Lord faithfully. Perhaps our difficulty with suffering is that we find it so unpleasant that we have a hard time imagining that good could possibly come from it. However, we learn that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Romans chapter 5, verse 4. The trials that God allows or sends into our path are for our spiritual good and development of character and hope. If we could see and understand that beyond the present suffering was a greater purpose and the work of God, we might find it easier to accept the trials as coming from the loving hands of our Father. In fact, the Bible also says, "For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake." Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. Suffering brings about blessing, and this is another strange paradox of the Christian life. Peter and John understood this, and so they rejoiced because the Lord counted them worthy to suffer for His name. Acts chapter 5, verse 41. These men considered it a great honor to have been beaten for preaching the gospel and obeying God rather than men. This is likely because they knew that God would be glorified by their faith and obedience to Him, and that the Christians would be more bold and encouraged to share the gospel also. Wherever persecution has come against the church, it has caused an increased interest in the Christian gospel, with more souls being saved. Satan may attack, but God will use Satan's strategies to actually further the gospel. The Lord may even call some of His servants to endure martyrdom. As difficult as that may be, the Lord will never allow someone to suffer for the gospel without using it to inspire many others. It might be hard for us to accept and understand this from a natural point of view, but when we see the spiritual outcome, we will perceive the wisdom of God in allowing His servants to suffer or even die while promoting the gospel. It was in 1956 that five American missionaries were killed by the Aka Indians in the jungles of Ecuador. These men were all young men with young families, and their death would seem to be quite tragic and a sad loss to their families. We know there were certainly many tears over their deaths, but through the work of those missionaries, these families were later able to meet with these savage Indians and present the gospel and see so many of them converted to Christ. Not only were many souls saved, but many have been inspired by the faith and courage of these young missionaries to give their lives to mission work and the spread of the gospel. There is no telling how many souls have been affected and brought into the kingdom because of the obedience and sacrifice of these five young men. Undoubtedly, God has used their deaths for the joy and eternal glory of thousands of souls. When we see the purpose behind the suffering of God's servants, then it helps us to accept and bear patiently with the trials. When faith is tested, it may feel painful, and the flames of God's testing will remove the dross of human sufficiency and prideful ambitions. In the end, God's servants will look much more like Jesus and bring pleasure and joy to the heart of God. Like clay in the potter's hands, we are to allow our Master to shape our lives into all that He has purposed, and even endure the refiner's fire so that we may be something beautiful and useful in God's eternal kingdom. It is not only those who are called to serve God, but every Christian is called to endure trials. For God intends to make us all shine with the glories of our Lord Jesus Christ. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake. Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. Just before we conclude today's broadcast, we want our listeners to be aware of our Emmaus Bible courses that we are making available. These courses are from Emmaus Bible College in the USA. There are 12 courses in the first series and also 12 in the second series. These courses begin with the basic teachings of Christianity and move on to more advanced doctrinal studies in subjects such as biblical marriage, the New Testament Church, and evangelism. If you should be interested in becoming a student of these courses, or feel that you could use these materials to help others grow in their Christian walk, then please feel free to contact us and we will provide the information needed to get you started. You may phone Shadrach in Kumasi at 024-442-1948, or if you have access to the internet, please visit our website at www.BibleAssemblyChurch.com, where you will find details about the Emmaus courses and a student registration form that you can download and use to register as an Emmaus student. Jesus saw me when I if you want to become a true born-again Christian, here is what you must do. 1. Admit that you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Realize that God hates your sin and must judge it. Romans 23 says, "The wages of sin is death," and this means eternal separation from God. 3. Realize that God loves you and does not want you to perish. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." 4. Realize that Jesus paid your debt of sin for you. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." 5. Accept God's free gift of eternal life by faith. John chapter 1, verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name." And also in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says, "That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." And number 6, also be assured that your salvation is through Christ alone and not your works. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 say, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." If you would like to receive God's free gift of eternal life right now, you may by a simple prayer made to God in faith. You could pray like this: "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and that I deserve God's judgment. I do not want to have to face that judgment, but I want to be saved and go to heaven. So please forgive me of my sins and come into my life now to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for my sins, and I thank you for the free gift of eternal life." If you have prayed this and believed with all your heart in Jesus as your Savior, then the Word of God assures you that you have been saved. It is not based on how you feel, but on your trust in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for listening to today's lesson. If you have any questions or comments for us, or you would like more information about God's way of salvation, or about our church, then please contact us. You may call Daniel at 024-325-1081, or if you prefer to speak Chi, then you may call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. Again, those numbers are Daniel at 024-325-1081, or for Chi, call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. The Believers Bible Assembly is a non-denominational church believing and practicing the teachings of the New Testament. Please tune in to this broadcast each Sunday morning at this time. Until next time, may the Lord bless you. I will make my boast in Christ alone.